My new book, Facts That Aren't True, is out now. Don't forget about my other book, Rational Answers to Stupid Questions.
So I guess what I'm trying to say is that, like, everywhere that I look, there's always a maker. Something made something.
Kind of.
This couch was made, TV was made by something, right? So you know where I'm going with the question.
Well, yeah, but you're talking about stuff that we know is intentionally structured. Like, there's teleology in those things. But you're not pointing to nature when you point to any of those things. But I don't see teleology or anything being created. I don't see anything being created literally at all in nature.
You don't think anything's been created in nature?
No.
No, things get rearranged into new forms, but in terms of creation, no.
So how would you explain creation? Just by the evolution?
Oh, it doesn't exist. There's no creation.
I guess my question is, well, how is everything made?
Sure. So I think the thing is, uh-huh, in a classical theistic tradition or a Christian tradition or whatever, mm-hmm, this creation of everything is, there was once literally nothing except God or the Word or the Logos, yeah, or whatever it is they decided to believe. And then through that, all the stuff around us was created. Now, what you're doing is you're pointing, like, if we look at nature and we say things, you know, appear, like, at one time, you know, there's a tree out there. At one time, that tree was not there, but it wasn't created out of nothing. It's there is a sort of creative process in nature, but none of it is creating things from nothingness, which would be the only kind of supporting evidence for this type of creation that is in the traditional religious sense, but we don't have any of that. So it's an apples and oranges comparison.
Because the evidence around us speaks to that truth.
It doesn't.
Everything that I see.
But this is just circular reasoning. The things around us are designed, and that's the evidence that they are designed. Yeah. So what you want to try to look for here is what they call it, a symmetry breaker. So if you want to be able to convince us that these things are designed, then you have to be able to show us what things that aren't designed look like. But if you doth proclaim that everything is designed, then it's kind of like the weird thing where it's like, if everything is a blank, then nothing is a blank.
Yeah. The biggest proof, I think, that there's a design or a designer or a maker.
Right, but how do you connect the eyeball to the maker, right? You're just saying eyeball, therefore maker. What's the linkage?
Oh, okay. So let me dive into it, because it's so complex, right? Mm-hmm. The eyeball itself and how our pH system works within our body, right? How we digest food. Like, those mm-hmm things are so scientific, you know, that it's so complex and complicated that it would have to have a designer.
Why?
To have everything work in unison. Because everything works in unison. Everything
so
works
what?
Perfect.
You're just stating claims. You're not actually giving the linkage.
No, the linkage is that it's such a complex, our bodies are so complex that it would take a designer or
why?
A maker to create that. Because it's so complex.
So what?
A thinker, something like that,
you're,
too.
You're just you're just claiming that complex items need a creator. Why?
Because it's complex.
So what?
That's the reason.
That's not actually substantiated. Justify that.
I can't go into the biology of it because I don't know, but I'm just giving you a broad example of what the point I'm trying to make.
We've got a guy here who knows biology pretty well.
Go ahead.
A little bit. Okay. So these are, this is like what we call an irreducible complexity argument, is for the most part. And these fall apart for a lot of reasons. It's like you talk about the human systems and it would have to be designed because they all work together, so on and so forth. But, like, we know for a fact, we can remove one thing at a time and find out that actually life completely works without these things. It's like, for example, we're mammals. So is the platypus. The platypus doesn't have a stomach. That animal doesn't. So we've literally removed something from the system that is supposed to be all interconnected and is too complex to not be designed. But apparently the design can be monkeyed with or platypused with in a way, and it still functions. Or we can go a lot more extreme than that and look at like a jellyfish. They don't have blood. They have a nervous system, but they don't really have a central nervous system. They don't really have a muscular system. They don't have an immune system, at least not that I'm aware of. They're lacking in so many things.
Right.
So, but also like another really, so there's the part that we can delete things from the system and it mm-hmm. still works. Another problem is that we're fully aware that human biology is deeply flawed in many ways. And we've come up with all kinds of technologies to deal with those flaws. So if we are the product of some perfect designer, then why are we capable of improving its design?
Sure.
Why do humans need glasses?
Because we're able to see better with glasses.
Right, but why did God create human beings in which their eyeballs would need glasses if we were competently designed?
Well, we're designed with, it's just like anything else, there's wear and tear.
Why? My twin brother had glasses when he was like six.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Really little kids get glasses.
Yeah, but that's just the nature of life.
Right. God created that. That's what I'm saying is when I look at this, like what you call design, I don't find design. Mm-hmm. I find, entities that evolved out of chaos, which is why, children are born with bone cancer. People need glasses. People are sometimes born missing limbs because the universe doesn't actually care about us. But like if there's a God that cares about us, it's really weird that he would create us to like have all these issues and then like put us on a planet where 100,000 people a year are killed in natural disasters and like 3 million children die of starvation.
Yeah, I totally get that. I mean, that's just through the natural cause of sin.
So why
I was wondering when it would get there.
God is considered the eternal ground of all living beings. I mean, it sustains the living force before anything. So science only addresses the external physical observations, but science never addresses the origins of will, consciousness, and love. And that's something science never touches on. And that's the part when we go to metaphysical stuff. And so do you believe that God can be considered your conscious perception of reality, which you can manifest different things into the physical, like ideas and invisible thoughts into reality? Because that's based on hundreds of books and knowledge from thousands of years. People always talk how Christ is within, the kingdom of God is within. That's not external God, that's something within us. So we have to investigate what that means. Within, the kingdom of heaven is within you. Not externally, you know, the deity in the sky, that's just the mainstream church deception. So I debate many Christians, they're very wrong on various topics.
So let's talk about the God you believe in then and why you think it exists.
So it's all about that divine illumination of the soul and the transmutation of the soul. So Jesus never existed. It symbolizes the awakening of the soul. He's a guide towards spiritual enlightenment. So it doesn't matter if he was a physical being or not. It just matters the lesson he's teaching. Jesus says, I speak in parables. That means that he doesn't speak real stuff historically. He speaks stuff that is metaphysically true, metaphors. So if you look at science and the origins of science and mathematics, we see Isaac Newton, Galileo Galilei, they all mention God each sentence. Copernicus, Robert Hooke, Robert Boyle, they all mention God in their books. Each sentence there's a mention of God. So they define God as that universal energy that sustains all living things.
I thought you said you were a Christian, though.
Yeah, agnostic Christian who seeks knowledge, not beliefs. You can believe anything, but knowledge is one. The truth is one, you know?
What does it mean to be a Christian and to believe that Jesus didn't even exist? Jesus, who was the Christ?
No. I'm saying physically not exist. The symbolism of Jesus is something which is within us, and we have to unleash that. So the power is within us to find what Jesus actually was.
So what were the gospel writers doing when
let's
they
say you want to watch a
Jesus?
Movie.
No. What were the gospel?
Yeah, exactly. Let's say you want to watch Harry Potter, you know? That means that there was someone who is guiding the humanity towards divine illumination and to remove sin, and sin means separation from your divine true self. So when
so
people are sinning, that's just mainstream deception. That means, yes, not a physical God, because that's a deception.
They make you believe there's a physical God
watching over you.
Sorry, I misspoke there. So yeah. You do believe in Jesus.
As a spiritual guide towards enlightenment, yeah. Yeah, we go to the Holy Trinity, and that's back by science, because the Trinity is protons, neutrons, and electrons, and they're symbolized by the Holy Spirit.
Okay.
That's the Trinity of the Bible explained by science.
Tell me what the Trinity is. Go ahead.
That's the three states of matter: solid, liquid, and gas.
No, you said photons.
God,
protons, neutrons, electrons, photons, something like that. Tell me what the Trinity is.
Yes, protons are the. So protons, that's the generative force, neutrons, that's the balancing force, and electrons, that's the reactive force. So that's symbolized in the Bible as the Trinity, yeah. And other books,
where is that symbolized in the Trinity? Where is that symbolized in the Bible?
The whole story on the Bible is based on science and the anatomy of the human being.
Yeah, so the question was, you specifically said that protons, neutrons, and electrons are the reacting, the balancing, and the other force, I don't remember, and you said that's the Trinity. Tell me where specifically in the Bible that is discussed.
So the Father, he's the unmanifested source, fire. We mentioned that before. The Son is the manifested form, light, and the Holy Spirit is movement, life, and unity. So the proton is a positive charge, which is also related to stability. It gives identity to the Father. It's just like the proton gives identity. In the beginning, God created the heaven and earth. The Father, proton, the creative force. God the Father exists within the protons, which are within ourselves. That means we carry that Father and proton energy,
so
which we
God,
can consciously, intently manifest and change.
What is the neutron? We're going to write this down.
It's the Christ. It's the binding force. Oh, no. It's the neutral balance, you can say. It's a better word to use. But the neutrons, they neutralize the repulsion of protons, preventing destruction, so they balance.
That's not a balance.
So you're wrong.
No, I'm not wrong. That's not a balance.
Okay. It's the Logos. Christ means Logos. Because Jesus, he's between divine judgment and
Christ
mercy,
means
just like protons.
Christ means anointed one. It doesn't mean the Logos.
I mean, when Jesus supposedly takes all the sins of the world and dies on the cross, that's representing as the sin means separation from your own true self. So when he takes that separation, he shows the people the story towards true enlightenment while taking those sins away. And there's not literal sins or the physical story. Again, it's metaphors, it's parables about our consciousness and our life. So we are the special ones. It's not the God in the sky. It's all about us.
What does that have to do with neutrons?
I kind of understood that.
What about the electron?
Again, nothing is random. So the last one?
Yep. So the electron
is
the Holy
motion,
Spirit?
The life, Spirit is translated and means breath. So it symbolizes the breath and motion and life also. The electron, it's negative charge, energy motion. It moves, giving energy, just like the spirit is giving life and action. And the electron is giving moves and gives energy. Electrons generate activity and interaction. And the spirit is the active force that flows through all creation. Similar, very, very similar.
Of the universe, whatever begins to exist has a cause. The universe began to exist. Therefore,
so
the universe has a cause.
What's the evidence that the universe began to exist?
We don't know that, and special pleading.
Yeah.
Okay, so we've got multiple lines of evidence that point to the existence. I mean, to the beginning of the universe, right?
Like
so
what?
We're looking at quantitative evidence from the abundance of helium, looking at thermal evidence from the second law of thermodynamics.
Are you reading from a chat GPT script?
From astronomical data. No, I'm reading from my notes.
Okay. Do you know what any of these words mean?
Of course I do.
Okay. The abundance of helium in the universe requires that it once didn't exist. How?
The amount of helium that is in the universe points to the fact that it needed to have come from a certain conditions in the universe.
You definitely need to amend your notes because the word you should have there is hydrogen. I didn't catch that right away. I didn't notice it till just now. But why would it point to at one point? It's consistent with Big Bang cosmology, but to claim that at one point
helium.
Helium, the second element on the periodic table.
Yeah, so Fred Hoyle did a study where he insisted that stationary, infinitely old, unchanging universe, but then he studied the way that elements are created within the stars, and he was able to calculate the amount of helium.
So what?
Come from the amount of helium that would be in the universe if it came from nothing.
Well, no, Fred Hoyle... Fred Hoyle did not, to my knowledge, I can fact check myself on that or somebody else can hear in a little bit, but Fred Hoyle believed in this thing called steady state theory, which did not posit a universe that at one point did not exist and then began existing. He rejected the Big Bang. I don't know exactly what his scientific gripe with the Big Bang was, but the Big Bang model accurately predicts the distribution and composition of matter in our universe very well, actually.
The point is that the amount of helium in the universe that we have now would require certain conditions, and those conditions would be the Big Bang.
Yeah, but we agree.
Yeah, I agree. The universe.
But we don't
believe that's not that. So that just points to the universe beginning.
Wrong. The Big Bang is not the beginning of the universe.
Yeah, it's the beginning of. It's not. Well, no, because we can't say that before the universe didn't exist. I'm perfectly happy to say something to the effect of it's the beginning of the universe as we understand it, because the not necessarily the laws, but the structure, perhaps laws of a universe before the Big Bang, would be different because our laws of physics literally can't describe it. But it doesn't point to before the Big Bang, no universe, and then therefore it was created or anything like that.
So you mean that this entropy law does not apply to the universe? This is what are you saying?
Not the way you're
because it is not a closed system, right?
We don't know 100%. So I think Justin was thinking about like Earth, but Earth is part of the universe, which is a grander system. Now, is the universe an open system or a closed system? We actually don't know that. Now, before a few decades, like before I was born, it would have been very tempting and very reasonable to say that it is. However, we now know that dark energy exists, and we don't know the source of it. So it may be energy from outside the universe as we understand it, which is odd. Or it may just be a property of space-time itself, but it's actually... We don't actually know.
Yeah.
But so, how would this point to God?
Yeah, okay. Because this points to God is that if the entropy is increasing and the universe is, as we know, is 13.8 billion years old, although given the current facts. So with that, we see over the solar system, at least, how the Earth works and the precision in the numbers, in the distance and everything. And for all that, as we all know, that it requires exact accuracy and efficiency.
Time traveler, it really sounded like you completely shifted to fine-tuning or something, because you said we know about things that will happen in the future to an extremely high precision. And that points to God. So I guess I'm kind of curious. I think we need to still see where this is going, but like hopefully we can land the plane on that.
Yes, soon-ish. Yes, exactly. You use the right word. This is a fine tuning. As we now know that in the world or in the solar system where we exist, this is really, really fine tuned. I don't have the numbers exactly to mention. I can collect the data, but.
But that's
fine-tuned mean but the accuracy of the movement, accuracy of the movement of the Earth or revolution or the distance or the distance from the sun. If universe is the result of the Big Bang, then is the kind of blast, then the universe in which we are living should not be in well fine-tuned, should not be in precise because of entropy. Right. Because
entropy, a system having entropy and fine-tuning don't contradict, because entropy is just like a measure of disorder. It's not a measure of physical constants. And if those physical constants are fine-tuned, then they would just be fine-tuned for entropy. And whether the universe is formed or the result of a Big Bang or whatever, or the result of God, we still have entropy and we still have fine-tuning. So I don't understand how it could possibly... Like, if you're saying we can't have entropy and fine-tuning, fine. But we live in a universe with both of those things. And you're trying to tell us that God fixes this. But the contradiction still exists if God exists. Because what you're trying to sell us on is you can't have entropy and fine-tuning. So is it your argument that there actually is no entropy?
That is my point. Yeah, that is my point. Or maybe
that there is no entropy.
Okay.
Is your argument that there is no entropy in the universe?
No, my argument is there is entropy, and if in the presence of entropy, this would not have been possible. So that's why there is a force behind it, which we can name it God.
No, it would literally just be the laws of nature. Because the reason we have entropy is completely described by the laws of physics. That's why we even know that it exists on a quantitative level. It's understandable at an intuitive level, because you look around and, well, why does my floor never sweep itself? I always have to be the one that does it. And that's how I know God doesn't exist, because God wouldn't do that to me.
Okay, pseudoscience. Okay, the way you do pseudoscience is you go to university and you get a degree
nope.
in astrophysics. 0 inches. So, yep, so you're inches. Correct, and every other plane surveyor is wrong. And yep. geodesic. What about geodesic surveying? They're all wrong.
You know that those people go to college, right?
Yeah.
Oh, so college is where you do go to get more knowledge all of a sudden. Okay. You know how many Where'd pilots? You go? You know, Jupiter?
You know how many pilots I know, Peterson? You know how many pilots?
This guy went to Jupiter to get more stupider, everyone.
You know how many pilots I know, Peterson?
Bro is like literally actually from Jupiter.
Do you know how many pilots I know, Peterson? I fly over a level topographical plane. It releases.
Wow, dude, why don't you go parent your children a little bit? They sound like psychopaths.
It actually releases gas. Uranus releases gas twice a day. Did you
Dude,
know
go
that?
Parent. Go be a parent to your
that's
children.
That's official NASA.
Albizi, go that's, be a parent to your children.
NASA. That's official.
Your dad doesn't love you, girls. He's going to Nathan Oakley you, girls.
Keep insulting, little man. Keep insulting. You need to jump and swing.
Oh, I hear footsteps. I think you're in trouble.
8 inches per mile squared is the
drop. Oh, no, they're back. Wow, what? What are those kids doing, dude? Why are you not being a parent to your little children? Why do you let them run around and scream and be in some sort of physical danger and do nothing about it?
Even my children are smarter than you, Peterson.
Well, then they must have eclipsed you long ago.
They are much smarter than you.
I think people are born smarter than you.
At the top of their class. They are at the top of the class. And guess what?
What, they're homeschooled and you have one child? That's your argument? No. My homeschooled child, who is an only child, is at the top of her class. Good for her.
They are
I bet she hooks up with the teacher, too.
Okay. Soon to go to university. They're at the top of their class, Peterson.
Oh, university? Okay. Oh, so they're going to go get more knowledge, which is where you said people go to get indoctrinated. Meanwhile, you're going to still be on Jupiter?
Peterson, listen. I want to make something very clear to you, Peterson. You know the degrees that I've got? I've ripped them up and thrown them in the rubbish because they wouldn't give me a refund.
Wow.
Okay.
Your Western academia.
If I don't have something overwhelming that can say, okay, that thing does or doesn't exist, then I just keep my mouth shut.
What would the overwhelming evidence of the Big Bang be, according to you?
I don't see any evidence provided that would say some person that told me a bunch of shit happened in the universe and everything came from that would suffice. I just don't believe that.
Cool. So the question was, what evidence would convince you that the Big Bang is true?
Well, something that would be sufficient.
What would count as sufficient to you?
I don't know. When somebody provides evidence, that's usually sufficient for me to believe that something actually happened.
Have you looked into any of the evidence about the Big Bang?
I mean, there's nothing conclusive.
Have you looked into any of the evidence?
I mean, there's nothing conclusive. Even if I didn't look, I know.
Holy fucking shit, dude. Could you explain any, go ahead and tell me anything about the Big Bang as you understand it.
Like what I know about the Big Bang?
Yep.
I mean, there was an explosion.
No, like you're literally already wrong. It's not an explosion.
I just Googled it in 2 seconds and everything says that the Big Bang theory is not complete.
No scientific theory is complete. We don't know how quantum mechanics and gravity work together. But are you a flat earther? Do you deny the existence of the electron?
No, actually.
Okay.
I mean,
so we have an incomplete theory that you accept, that you basically accept.
I mean, I do have a problem with you telling me how something works and saying, I guess, in between the statement. You don't know if you're guessing.
There were predictions made following Big Bang cosmology decades ahead of time, and the prediction for what we would find, this cosmic microwave background radiation, it was a specific temperature. The mapping of it was, it's within a 1/10,000th of a degree of what they thought it would be. The precision for the science that's been confirmed within the Big Bang model is... It's some of the most precise stuff that we have in terms of science.
Yeah, but is it a complete theory? Is it proven?
No theory is ever complete.
Okay.
We don't have a quantum. We don't understand how quantum mechanics and gravity work together, for example.
Okay, but was there a theory for how gravity worked?
There were laws for gravity that just described what was happening. But we didn't have.
That's not what I asked you, though. Was there a theory for something called gravity when they were initially thinking about how it worked?
No.
If the theory of the Big Bang is not complete, then nobody knows if it's actually true.
The theory of gravity is not complete.
Well, then
this is the third time I've said this. No scientific theory is complete.
Okay, so we don't know how gravity works?
There are things about gravity that we don't know, like how it plays.
That's not what I asked you.
Yes, it is. We don't know how this would make it incomplete. We don't know how gravity and quantum mechanics work together because everything.
That's not what I'm asking you.
Oh, God. You don't know what you're asking, apparently, because I'm telling you exactly what the implications of your question are in another field, and you're just going, No,
actually.
You unironically literally just did it.
No, it's not unironic because when I'm asking you if you know how gravity works, we do. You're saying that we don't know how it works in conjunction with something else.
That's not so it's incomplete.
No, it's not incomplete.
Yes, it is.
No, it's not incomplete. The other thing
Holy
is
Holy fucking shit. Chat, what is it doing?
Gravity's is incomplete?
Chat, what is it doing?
Hold on, gravity's incomplete?
Chat, what is it doing?
Don't appeal to your chat. Just have a conversation.
What is it doing?
Let me ask you something, okay? Is gravity not known? Do we not know what gravity is? Can it not be proven?
Do you know what incomplete means?
This guy's getting frustrated because a guy that's not even into science can even just fucking dismember his argument. Yes,
you're not dismembering anything. You're not understanding your own questions. What does it mean to be incomplete?
Oh my God, man.
Oh my God.
Relax, guy.
What does it mean to be incomplete?
This is just a stupid conversation I guess I'm having. You don't have the parts.
Go on.
But that's what something incomplete is. You don't have all the parts.
And what else? When it comes to the scientific theory, what would the parts be?
The metrics we use to prove that thing.
Okay. Do we have metrics to prove how gravity affects quantum level materials?
Gravity does not need quantum anything to exist.
So we don't know. So we don't know how gravity interacts at the quantum level, or how it plays with quantum mechanics. We don't know this.
Gravity exists.
It's incomplete.
Hold on. Am I asking you if gravity is existing and we know how it works, or am I asking you if it works in conjunction with something else?
If we knew how it worked in conjunction with something else, then that would be part of the whole of the theory. We are missing that part.
No,
it's
you just
incomplete.
Don't understand the quantum part. The gravity has nothing to do with
what is it doing?
Part. Yeah, and the Big Bang compared to gravity, what do you think we actually understand? The Big Bang or gravity?
Both. That's why they're both theories. Guffaw. Guffaw.
What?
So by logically prove God exists, you mean you can come up with an argument that where the things that you define come out of the premises and are, it's just a deductive argument?
Yes, it's a deductive argument, yes.
Okay, so if I said, if God exists, then the God-defeating penguin exists, therefore God doesn't exist. That's a deductive argument.
That doesn't follow.
Neither do your statements.
So how does my statement not follow?
Because you're just claiming, wait, why does mine not follow? If God exists, then the God-defeating penguin necessarily must exist. So if God exists, then the God-defeating penguin immediately makes God not exist. There's no contradiction in any of that.
So yeah, your first premise doesn't, your second premise doesn't follow with the rest of your premises, right?
Because it does. Because if God exists, then the God-defeating penguin makes God begin to not exist immediately.
Hold on, let me finish, right? Because again, if God is a necessary being that exists, right? And then you bring up another being to defeat the necessary being is just a blatant contradiction, right? Because a necessary
it's not a contradiction. There can be two necessary beings.
Let me finish. I know, but you're saying one necessary.
Well, if you know, then okay, nothing else to talk about.
You said that your necessary being defeated another necessary being, right? How can the necessary being defeat another necessary being?
That's how I choose to define them.
Hold on. If both of their existence must be true.
Yeah, that's how I choose to define them.
You see, okay, the way you define it is a contradiction. That whole entire argument was just a blatant contradiction argument, right?
I choose to define it this way.
A necessary being defeating another necessary being, right? But yeah. Both necessary beings must be true, right? Both necessary beings must exist. You don't know what you're talking about.
No, because mine makes yours not exist.
How does it make mine not exist, right? If they're both
because it's the God defeating penguin. Well, that's its both, nature.
Hold on, it makes yours not exist. But both must exist. By them simply being necessary beings. You're talking nonsense.
No.
What you're saying. So,
no, because the moment yours begins to exist, mine makes it not exist. It's this all happens. I don't you seem to be confused. You seem to not understand basic philosophy. All of this happens outside of time as we understand it. It's without time. So this whole thing of they exist at the same time, that's actually completely irrelevant. These are eternal beings, and so when the moment yours begins to exist, the necessary being makes it not exist immediately. And it's outside of time, so haha, it doesn't count.
But it's more
like what? No, I literally proved that God can't exist because the God-defeating penguin makes it begin to not exist the moment it tries to exist.
We have no possible understanding if there is or isn't a God.
But this valid deductive argument proves that it can't exist. Or do valid deductive arguments prove nothing other than the argument?
It proves nothing other than the argument. What is proof?
Exactly. There you go. So go ahead and tell me whatever you wanted to tell me about your God. And then, but since we all understand that doesn't prove literally anything at all, then I'm not really sure why we're going with this, but go ahead.
Define proof.
No. Tell me. Give me the argument that your God exists.
You want me to tell you how God exists?
See, this is the shifting of the burden of proof that always comes with these people. You won't describe anything. Instead, you'll deflect and say, yeah, but you don't know blank. You don't know blank. You don't know blank. You don't know blank. An argument from ignorance is when you pretend, when you engage in an argument from ignorance with your interlocutor, the way it works is you pretend that if you can figure out something they don't know, then that means that you are correct about something. No.
No. If you don't know.
No, not no. Yes, that is actually how that works. So go ahead and tell us about your proof that God exists. If you want to waste your time, but keep in mind that you did tell us that this doesn't actually prove anything except the argument.
Okay. So what is it? So you have to define proof, right? Because you're saying the only thing that I'm proving.
This isn't according to me. This is according to you. It's your argument.
But did I make the proposition right? That all I'm proving is the argument.
I don't know what makes you think this is going to go any other way other than you doing what you're told, little jabroni. So go ahead and give us the argument for your God existing.
If there exists a possible world where this maximally great being exists, then this maximally great being must exist in all possible worlds. Our world is a possible world. Therefore, God must exist in our possible world.
Congratulations, you proved your argument. Now, can you give me any evidence that your God exists?
I just gave you the evidence.
No, see, earlier you said the argument does nothing other than prove that the argument... It does nothing but prove the argument. So, can you give me any evidence that your God exists?
I never said that, right? I said the argument is what proves God exists.
No, you said the argument proves nothing other than the argument. The one time you've been honest so far is when you said that. So, for example, we could do it this way. Do maximally great beings exist?
No, that was somebody else who asked you questions about like what you're talking about.
No.
I totally believe
arguments. Do maximally great beings exist?
Army Irvine. Is it possible?
Do they exist?
Yes, because they're possible.
Okay. Can the God-defeating penguin exist?
No.
Why not?
Because the God-defeating penguin will have to be something that is necessary. You haven't gave me a reason why it's necessary.
I choose to define it that way, the same way you choose to define that your God is necessary.
You didn't define it. You just simply said maximally great. All you did was say a necessary penguin.
Yeah, I choose to define it to be that way. Just like you choose to define your God to be the maximally greatest being.
I didn't choose
it. See how this works? See how anybody can just arbitrarily slap labels on things?
So no, that's not how that works, right? Because right,
it's literally how that works. It's literally what you did, but for some reason you don't let other people do it. I don't understand why, but that's what's going on here.
Can I talk?
Yeah.
Okay, great. So, yes, you're a maximally great being. You're maximally whatever you want to call it, a maximally great penguin, right?
It's not maximally great. It's just a necessary being.
Okay, then, so it's not necessary.
Yes, it is.
Okay, so what makes it necessary?
It's defined to be that way.
Okay, so what makes it necessary?
It's defined to be that way.
Oh my gosh.
Oh my gosh.
Do you want to know why God is necessary?
Because you choose to define it that way?
No, that's not why.
Yes, it is.
No, it's not.
Then why is it?
God is necessary, right? Because what it means to be maximally great means to have the utmost excellence in properties.
Who said that?
Is that not what maximally great means? Are you defining
according? So you're just defining it to be that way? Okay.
I'm not defining it.
Yes, you are. Well, this isn't your definition. You got it from somebody else, Aquinas, or so. I don't know where you got this from. But yeah, this you just define it to be this way. God is impossible because the God-defeating penguin makes it so God can't exist.
Okay, then you have to explain what makes this God-defeating penguin necessary. You're not explaining no properties that make it necessary.
I choose to define it to be that way. It is that which makes God not exist. Therefore God can't exist.
You can't choose a contingent being to be necessary. You have to explain to me as to why.
It's not contingent.
Okay, then so why is it necessary?
Because I choose to define it to be that way. It has the properties of a necessary being.
Okay, then so it's just God.
No, it defeats
okay,
God.
So it's not God. So it does not have the properties of a necessary being.
That's not what a necessary being is. A necessary being is that which is a God-defeating penguin and makes God not exist.
Okay, so you're just throwing different definitions.
Yes, exactly what you do. Yes.
So you're throwing false definitions on words.
No, these aren't false definitions.
They're not false definitions.
Do you know what logic is?
Yes, logic is how we
Because operate. Logic is what determines that the God-defeating penguin has the properties that a necessary being
okay,
has.
Okay, then so give me the logic. You haven't given me anything. You're just making bold claims. I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, who's doing that? You, me, or both?
You.
You're literally And you're not doing that because
no, I'm not, because I gave you logical reasoning as to why God is a maximally great being. You haven't given me any reason as to why this being is
You gave me an argument for it, but that doesn't prove anything other than the argument.
The number one problem with atheism is that they don't even believe in absolute truth.
Wow.
Because absolute truth, you can't even confirm to me right now you exist.
You can't confirm to me that you exist.
I can.
No, you can't. Prove that you're not a figment of my imagination.
What do you mean figment of imagination? I'm speaking to you right now and I exist.
Prove that it's not a figment of my own imagination talking to me right now.
What do you mean? Do you like figment of your
it's imagination? It's literally, I cannot dumb it down any more than that. Prove to me that you're not a figment of my imagination.
Meaning you're dreaming. This is all a dream.
No, a figment of my imagination. You can't do that. Okay, so you don't believe in absolute truth.
I do believe.
What do you want to talk about next? Okay, then prove you're not a figment of my imagination.
I'm not speaking to you right now, and I'm
Yeah, I know that I'm imagining this happening. Prove that it's anything other than that.
You're not imagining this because I'm speaking.
Prove it to me.
Absolute truth.
Prove it to me.
If it was an imagination, things don't come into reality, meaning when you're imagining things.
You're begging the question. You're just saying you're not imagining it because you're not imagining it because this is reality.
No, I'm not saying not Prove because it you're to imagining me. It. Not because you're imagining it. Imagination usually
this
doesn't come into reality.
This was 10 times easier than I thought it would be. So you're incapable of doing this, just so you know.
Imagination most of the times does not come into reality.
Yeah, prove that I'm not imagining this.
You're not. So we
yeah,
can
prove it. Don't declare it. Prove. Do you know what a circular argument is?
It's not about a circular argument.
Do you know what a circular argument is?
Do you think imagination?
No. See, the question is: do you know what a circular argument is?
No, not birds. The water.
Mo.
Becoming.
Mo. Do you even know what a circular argument is?
Hmm.
Do you know what a circular argument is?
Yes.
An argument
that goes nowhere.
No. Be specific.
An argument that goes nowhere and then circulates to the original topic, meaning an argument that's not valid.
No. A it's circular argument is when your conclusion is one of the premises or vice versa, which is what you're doing. I said, prove that that you're not a figment of my imagination, and you're just telling me that you're not. You're not proving it. Now, you said that the atheist can't prove that they exist.
Yeah,
you can't prove that you exist, so you are an atheist.
I'm speaking, and because I was created, and due to living a long life.
I need you to prove to me that I'm not just imagining that I'm having a conversation.
If you're imagining, it's a big problem.
I didn't ask you if it's a problem. I asked you to, well, it's not a question, but prove to me that you're not a figment of my imagination.
I can prove that because most things when people imagine things, most of them don't come into reality. Meaning, I can give you an example. They can say the water.
I didn't ask you for an example. I asked you to prove that right now I'm not talking to a voice in my head.
This is not virtual reality.
Okay, you can't do this. The only thing you've been able to do is beg the question so we can move on. I've demonstrated that you're an absolute hypocrite because, yes, your argument that atheists can't prove that they exist to other people is a weakness that you and everybody has.
I can prove that fine-tuning equals God. Meaning, I can prove to the universe the tuning. I'm not talking about if gravity existed or not. The strength of gravity that holds everything together is the proof of God. Because there had to be a higher intelligence power.
Yeah, which is how we know that aliens are simulating the universe. I agree.
Huh?
What? Yeah, this is how we know that aliens are simulating our universe.
No, aliens don't exist. We have multiple...
No, actually, the aliens created a simulation, exist, and that's real. What this is. And that's how we proved that aliens exist.
If you believe that aliens exist, you might need
to go check. No, I know that aliens exist because they're simulating this universe. This universe has the properties of a simulation. Simulating that's aliens? How we know they exist.
Can you name me? Can you name me which alien did you see?
His name was. Nice. He's from Mongolia. Club.
This is talking to a person.
Yes, so, I treat dipshit arguments like yours exactly. I parody your arguments in the appropriate way, and people learn and laugh and live and love quite a lot from watching this stuff. I'm talking
about fine-tuning. Explain to me why gravity has the same as...
Because the aliens that simulate this universe programmed it to be that way. That's the only explanation.
Okay, if it's meant to be that way, was there needed a higher power, yes or no?
Yes, the thing that is simulating our universe.
The simulating, it's not aliens. There's no scientific proof.
No, it is aliens. It is aliens. We even know what their names are. Do you want me to tell you what their names were again? Their names were...
My friend, if you believe aliens...
No, we're not friends. You need to go to... I would never be friends with somebody like you.
You're not born an atheist. You cannot...
Yeah, you are.
No, you're not.
Yeah, you are. What do babies believe in?
Born an atheist, bro.
What do babies believe in?
Okay, if you're born an atheist.
Okay, what do babies believe in, Mo?
Babies believe in? Most of the time, their minds are not developed. Over time, when...
So they don't believe in God. Okay, thank you. Thank you for playing. You can't prove that you exist. You proved that everybody is born an atheist. You proved that aliens are simulating this universe. This is just some of the... The score here is like 10 to 0.
No, it's actually the opposite.
I'm winning, but you've scored all of the points.
Zobashin and Gubatin and Zubatin next week, man. Don't worry.
Don't fucking place some dumbass gypsy curse on me, Mo. Okay? Stop rebuking me in the name of your holy juju or whatever it is the fuck that you're doing. Quit witchcrafting me, Mo. That's a bad Mo. Bad.
I swear to you, I'm not lying. You need to see a hospital.
Do you think that people who hear voices in their heads should go see a hospital?
People who have voices in their heads, yes, they should go see a hospital like you.
Do you talk to God?
Yeah, I
see. Then you should go to the hospital. Okay. You should go see a hospital because you hear voices in your head, Mo. I hope you open up a tin jar that has cookies on the top, but it's just a sewing kit on the inside.
Nice. Okay.
I hope that you step in a puddle after putting on a pair of socks. Okay, I hope that you have to visit Gary, Indiana for a work obligation.
Yay. Well, anyways, can you tell me what the atemporal unconditional precondition that's going to be necessarily non-contingent and universally ultimate that instantiates and secures the truth value of propositions in your worldview? Or are you going to keep prevaricating?
Nobody, especially you, can do that.
No, especially.
Yeah, go ahead then.
Because you don't even know what the fuck I just said because you're confused and you've never looked in the
philosophy. Go ahead and do it then.
Do you want to answer my question?
The point is, nobody, especially you, can do it. So go ahead and fail to do it for us.
My question was dichotomous. It's a yes or no.
Now, I told you that I don't, I can't do what you said because I don't follow what you said, but you can't do it either because you're not going to do it.
Yes or no?
How many times do I have to answer this question for you?
You haven't answered it because it's dichotomous.
Yes, I did.
It's yes or no.
Yeah, I said no, and neither can you.
Oh, okay, so you can't. Okay, awesome. And
neither can you.
What are you saying I can't do?
Go ahead and do it.
What are you saying I can't do?
All the things you just said.
What do you think that was?
I don't even remember.
You don't know because you're not tracking because you're a dumb fuck. It's fine. It's completely...
You can't just come up here and say eight pentasyllabic words and then be like, oh, did you track any of that? This is so stupid.
Yeah, you want me to break it down for you?
Go ahead.
Yeah, sure. So I asked you what the atemporal unconditional precondition. Do any of those words confuse you?
Atemporal means it's without time. Mm-hmm. And then what was the other? There was precondition and what was the other? So it has no conditions?
No conditions. It's going to be necessarily non-contingent.
And?
Are you good? I mean, you get stumped
not
really, really easily. I mean, like that sort of Neanderthal is coming out of you right now.
So since I can't do this, it would be really embarrassing if you can't do it either. So can you do
really
that?
It really would, but I don't want you to pivot off this. Again, this is why I called you prevaricating, Peterson. And you're not tracking the conversation.
Chat, if you think the guest is an atemporal, prevaricating, panspermiating penguin, type one. If you think the guest is owning me, type supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. So, chat, if you think that the guest is a prevaricating, perverted, penis penguin, type one, and if you think the guest is winning this discussion, I need you to please type supercalifragilisticexpialidocious.
And if you think that the Peterson prevaricating dumbfuck is just a Neanderthal that doesn't
you didn't even do the alliteration correctly. You ended with a D word. What's the necessary precondition for me banging your mom? It's my good looks and her desperation.
You just recycle the same ones.
Kate, the necessary precondition for me banging your mom is my incredible good looks and the fact that she's desperate.
And the fact that you have a low IQ, it's fine. It's attractive to most women. It's fine.
Especially your mom. And since that's the case, she picked your dad based off those characteristics. And by blending their genes together, they produced whatever the fuck this thing is.
So you got blown the fuck out, and you didn't just get blown the fuck out because your points are bad. You got blown the fuck out because
your points are bad. Speaking of blown the fuck out, you should check your mom's back.
I gotta go. See you, buddy.
Okay, bye, Cade.
And if there is
contradictions.
Okay, but that's not what makes something impossible, because you don't have universal access.
You have
to
be kidding me.
So you're just presupposing this is a universal.
And you're just presupposing that you have access.
But I know I have access. That's the difference.
No, you don't know you have access.
The reason I know I can know things is because God told us in scripture that we can come to know things.
You don't know that those words are true. This is just so... why? God... How do you know that that's true?
Because God revealed it in his scripture.
And how do you know that it is revealed in his scripture?
Yeah, so I came to the knowledge that God gave us the preconditions to know things through his scripture. Yeah, so that's
how do you know that?
Justification. That's the justification, unifying ultimate, grounder of our worldview is God.
Yeah, well, guess what? I have a book and this book is true. There, that proves it.
Well, that could see planet. That can be your unifying grounding principle in your worldview, and you can hold that to be true. But you will no longer be atheist.
Yes, I will, because it's the book, not God. The way you guys unironically do this, you say what your presuppositions are, what you know, rather than what you believe or what your worldview is. It's just, it's so funny. But your God doesn't exist. I hate to tell it to you, Kai, but it doesn't exist.
I have no problem you and your empirical worldview saying that. I would say in your empirical worldview, God does not exist. God transcends existence.
No, because according to your revealed scripture, your God doesn't exist. No, that's the problem.
Your definition of existence is ridiculous. So when you say exist, you're not using it in the same way I use exist. You're using it as in exists in matter, space, and time, objective reality. Right. And
no, I mean, in any conceivable way, it doesn't exist because it is a contradiction.
What's the contradiction?
Is your God all knowing?
Yes, my God's all knowing.
You ever read Genesis chapter 18?
Yes, I don't.
Does God know what's happening in Sodom and Gomorrah?
God knows everything. Yes.
Does God know what's happening in Sodom and Gomorrah in Genesis 18?
We're using anthropomorphic language to express God.
No, it doesn't. God says, I will go there to see for myself if the outcry is as bad as has been told to me. If not, then I will know. So he doesn't know.
That's what the scripture says. The way you interpret it is what you're arguing.
No, that's
for
what
right
the scripture
now.
Says. And how do you know that your interpretation of it is correct?
Your conclusion is false.
How do you know that your interpretation is correct?
Because I follow the church fathers, right? And the church fathers have authority, okay?
Wow, an argument from authority. Congratulations.
It's not an argument from authority.
Yes, it is. You literally used the word authority.
they hold authority over interpretation.
See, you just used the word authority again. It's true because these authoritative figures say that it's true.
Divine authority is.
So that's the third time you've invoked authority, so you're doing an argument from authority here.
On the interpretation of scripture?
You're saying it's true
because of the... I'm saying there's one true interpretation of scripture that's been revealed through us by the fathers. They've been granted authority by
That's the fourth time you've invoked authority?
Yes, God is the authority.
That's the fifth time you've invoked authority?
Look at this guy coping. Planet, this isn't me saying dark matter exists because authority. Okay, there's a complete difference here. I'm not saying dark matter exists because a scientist said so. I'm saying God said so.
The God? No, you're saying the church fathers said that the interpretation is what it says.
You're trying to say I'm making a fallacious argument.
Because you are.
If there's nothing grounding in your worldview of what can be possible.
There is. It's called clip-clop.
What's that?
It's the necessary precondition for intelligibility.
Okay, is that being perfect?
It's not a being, and the necessary condition for understanding, which is called clip-clop, told me that all this God stuff is false. It revealed it to me.
Okay, and how does this thing ground intelligibility? Is it all-knowing? Does it have knowledge?
I have no idea, but what I do know is that it revealed the truth to me.
How did it reveal the truth to you?
It just speaks it into my brain head.
Okay, so how do you know you're not being deceived?
Because I can't be deceived, because I know it, because I presuppose that it's true. And because I define the thing to be the thing which does the thing. Oh, you love your mom? Name five of her albums, then.
You're saying I can't know something. I'm incapable of knowing the Bible is true. Tell me why.
No, I... That is kind of what I said.
It's not knowledge.
I'm sorry, did the middle of my sentence interrupt the beginning of yours? Second of all... Fuck you. Hodor, I don't believe in God, so I don't have your worldview.
Yeah, you abandoned that. You had to abandon that to make sense of the reality we live in.
Are you telling me that I believe in God?
I'll go one step further than that. You don't just believe in God, you know God and are accountable because of that knowledge.
And how do you know that?
Because you're using logic and reasoning.
And how do you know that the only way to use logic and reasoning is to know that God exists?
That's exactly right, because you're presupposing uniformity in nature. You're presupposing that logic will be the same right
Chat,
now as it will be 5 minutes
from
now.
What the actual fuck is it doing? What is it doing? No, I didn't.
You just got trapped. Yeah,
you're just sitting
God.
Here saying my worldview is the only worldview that can possibly work.
Right,
and if you're even going to use language, you're borrowing from my worldview. That's the most dishonest thing I can think of.
No, I'm
right
honest.
Because I can't be wrong. That is your worldview.
That is true. That is true.
Oh, God.
But at the same time, you
Oh, man. Well, that's just.
You proved it when you abandoned your worldview and began to use mine. And now
oh, man. I'm not using your worldview. I don't believe God exists.
Of course you do. You're using all the things that are.
I can't believe you're doing this right now. Chat, what is it doing? Actually, chat, I know what it's doing. Chat, it's sitting here saying that if you disagree with my worldview, that means you agree with my worldview. That's what it's actually doing right now.
That's the power of the truth. It's reduced you to a cackling idiot. Think about it.
What the fuck? This is...
Just like Andrew Wilson did. Just like Tim Burinke would. Just like Greg Bonson would. That's what you become. Look at you. You're
Greg Balsa would.
The Bible calls you a fool, and look at you. A cackling fool.
Yeah, and I got... Hold on. It's actually funny that you said that. It's actually funny that you said that because my book says the fool who hath a micro penis saith on TikTok that Spanky is not the one true creator. So congratulations, by denying my worldview, you literally proved that my worldview is true.
No, you had to abandon your worldview.
No, you're borrowing from my worldview because you're making truth claims right now.
You abandoned your worldview.
No, Hodor, you're literally using my worldview right now because you're making truth claims.
You and I know that. You and I know that.
Hodor,
the rest of your clown.
You're borrowing from my worldview right now because you're making truth claims.
You may have those people deceived.
Chat, it won't stop talking. Hodor, My worldview is that the truth reveals itself to me, and the truth revealed to me that God doesn't exist. So any attempt you make to claim otherwise means you're borrowing from my worldview and admitting that God doesn't exist. Do you understand now? Do you understand? He's still doing it. He's still saying that if you disagree with his worldview, then that means you are adopting his worldview. It's still doing it.
You just abandoned your worldview again. You
just
Yes, you did.
I feel like the gaslighting here is so wild. You could drive somebody to insanity with this. I'm not crazy. You just proved that you're crazy. But I'm not, Doc, I'm not crazy. He just did. Put him in a straitjacket. Why are you putting me in a straitjacket? I'm not crazy. Because you are crazy. That's what a crazy person would say.
You abandoned your worldview twice.
No, I...
Sure you did. Go back and watch this later on, man, for your own sake. Because, I mean, it's... I mean, of course, to the, you know, the gallery of the peanut gallery here, you might be making sense, but not to anyone who can think. You've abandoned your worldview twice and took on mine to try and combat mine.
I'm not adopting your worldview because I don't believe God exists.
Of course you did. You believe logic and reason exist, and these things are what prevent confusion and chaos.
That's
and
literally just according to you. I can just have the worldview that there, God
you
doesn't exist.
According to your worldview, you're a brain in the vat.
No, I'm not.
Yeah, of course it is. You can't. You've told me that yourself. According to your worldview, you don't know anything. All you have is your five.
That's not true.
You admit that's all you have.
You don't have anything else.
No, not according to my worldview.
Yes, according to your worldview.
No, not according to my worldview.
What else do you have?
I have revelation from God.
How do you know that?
Which can, because he's revealed to me in such a way that I can be empirically certain.
How did he reveal it to you? Oh, I didn't mean to mute you. Sorry. How did he reveal it to you?
In the way that he reveals.
How did he do it?
In the way that he does it.
How are you made aware of it?
Through the power of God.
Through your senses is how you're made aware of it. Thank you very much.
Through the sixth sense, through the spiritual sense I have that you don't have.
You don't.
Now, see, you can disagree with that, but my worldview is internally coherent. Yours isn't.
No, it's.
You can't justify anything according to your worldview.
Anybody can make a presupposition. I presuppose that God doesn't exist. There I just proved it.
There you go, abandoning your worldview again.
Why did Muhammad say things that didn't happen? That's a problem.
Like what?
Like the moon splitting in half? That didn't happen.
Oh, it didn't happen?
No.
No.
Okay. Okay. All right. I mean, that's...
So you believe that it happened?
Yes, we do believe it happened.
Okay. Let me ask you an equivalent, but... Hold on. Fadi, let me ask you a different but equivalent claim. Let's say there's some religion in Mongolia, and this religion says that the sun disappeared for 24 hours. Do you believe it?
When did it disappear for 24 hours?
2,116 years ago.
Okay. Are there records?
They have a book that says it.
No. Are there records? No. It's not about a book. So when...
Oh, it's not about a book. Is that how you feel about your religion?
Yeah. I'm sorry?
Is that how you feel about your religion?
Yeah, no worries. So regarding the splitting in the moon. That happened right there and then. So they asked him, the pagans asked Muhammad to split the moon. So he didn't do it on his own. This was with the will of God. That's one of the, that's another.
Yeah, the Mongolians say that it was the will of God that made the sun disappear.
Yeah, but
I'm asking you why you don't believe this religion in Mongolia that says the sun disappeared for 24 hours.
Fadi, you can't actually answer the question if you don't listen to it. Can you repeat that, Eric?
Yeah, I'm just asking, why would you deny a claim made by some other religion that the sun disappeared for 24 hours?
Okay, can I answer now?
Yeah.
All right. So let's tackle the moon first, and then we'll
We're talking about the sun. The answer would be really... short and simple, I'm guessing.
But here's the thing. That's something you just made up. I'm talking about something...
Yeah, I know.
Did you even hear what he said?
It's an equivalent claim.
What?
It's an equivalent claim.
Yeah, but I don't have to cover that. That's someone else's claim. You're asking about our claims. In my
you do have to cover that, Fadi. It's an analogy. So just engage in the analogy. Yeah, you're going to discuss an analogy or you'll leave. So don't be a coward. Analogies are valuable for discourse. We want to know if you can actually engage in the analogy.
And you can't say, why do I have to engage it if I don't believe it? We don't believe what you believe. So by your own admission, nobody should ever talk to you.
Yeah, if you're not capable of having a good faith dialogue, you don't have to be here. He's having a good faith. He's having a good faith dialogue with you, and he gave you an analogy. All he's asking you to do is to engage in the analogy. Are you capable of doing? No, of course he's going to run.
He left. So
what a coward.
That's usually,
and that's why they got to marry 9-year-olds because they can't deal with adults.
So you don't think Jesus was an actual divine being?
Jesus said, "You are gods." So
that's a damning non-answer. Do you think that Jesus was an actual supernatural being?
He was a meme organism that was superior in ways to physical people. Yeah.
So, no, that, well, okay, so you didn't answer the question, but then you said, yeah. So, like, yes or no, did he have supernatural powers?
All right, the New Testament supernatural has to do with pneuma. Look it up. And that pneuma has to do with breath. Breath is where means are transferred. Okay? So I know.
Pneuma, summa, zuma, legus in five.
No, there's no possible way a human being, after just transferring from a monkey, all of a sudden think that, right?
This is gonna be rough. Do you think that monkeys just gave birth to a human? Is that what you think happened?
That's what you think happened, right?
No, not even close. No.
Oh, okay. Well, I think I look at it like this.
Blessed, today's your lucky day. We've got a guy up here that actually has a background in science.
Okay, that's cool.
But Eric, are you telling me that monkeys didn't give birth to humans?
It is not true that one day a monkey gave birth to a human. It is not true.
Okay, fair enough. But at what stage did the human being say, "I believe in God"? Right.
It probably happened multiple different times independently, and it would have been quite a long time ago. You do know that human beings have countless times invented different gods, and almost every one of those gods is anthropomorphic in a big way. It really reeks of people creating these god concepts that are familiar to what their experience in the world is like. Or in other words, we created gods in our image. Like Zeus going around banging random broads and being a deadbeat dad. That sounds like something a human would do, right? But we constructed a god that does that.
Okay, I'm saying that's my point. If you are in a desert,
that was
desert,
never
right?
your point. But go on, King.
If you're on an island, right? All of a sudden, there's nobody to tell you about God. Mm-hmm. You will eventually be like, you know what? I believe in God. Even at a young age, you're gonna be like, I believe in God.
No, and I wouldn't.
I'm gonna make whatever this is a god, and I'm gonna pray to this.
So it's not an inevitability. You should read some anthropology. Many Native American societies, for example, were animist. They didn't believe in actual gods in any sense that Westernized people have this traditional view of God, both as like the personal God or even the impersonal, more like deistic God.